on the Sunday before Independence Day, when tomorrow we will celebrate our nation's 235th birthday, thought it might be opportune to spend a few moments this morning to tie together the virtues extolled by our Lord in the Gospel, meekness and humility, with the story and the narrative regarding the foundation of our country in regards to religious freedom. It's a very little known fact, although it's more and more revealed today, that our founding fathers were very religious men. They had a deep sense of natural law, whereby they insisted that it was not Parliament or the Republic or the King that gave us these rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rather, these things were ours simply because we're men and women created in the image and likeness of God. In other words, we didn't need someone to tell us that we had certain rights, but rather these things were already present in the world, and the role of government was to fashion an environment where these rights could be enjoyed. Some of you know that there was only one Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. His name was Charles Carroll of Maryland. And Charles Carroll was a very interesting individual. His brother John ended up later becoming the first bishop in the United States, the first Archbishop of Baltimore. Charles Carroll was unique that when he was signing the Declaration of Independence after John Hancock placed his signature, they asked Charles Carroll, "Carroll, will you also put your signature on this document?" And there was a doubt as to whether or not someone like Carroll, a Catholic, could be a good American. You might wonder why that is. Well, because Catholics have an allegiance to the See of Peter, the Pope. And there was a question as to whether or not Catholics could be Americans. Question perhaps we take too much for granted today. But it was a very, very pressing question at the time. We were called papists, those who followed the Pope, and things of Americana were somewhat distant from us. Americans couldn't really be good Catholics, so was the thought of some. And Charles Carroll, to prove that Catholics could be good Americans, signed his name Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He's the only person in the whole declaration who actually placed next to his name where he was from, as if to thumb his nose to the British and say, there are other Charles Carrolls, but just in case you're wondering who this one is, you know where to find me. Remember, all of these men knew that if they were caught, they were traitors to the British crown and would be tried and probably hanged for treason, all of them risking their lives. The founders knew that religion was an indispensable part of the fabric of this newly formed republic. In fact, it's a little known fact that during the Constitutional Convention later, but even during the time of the Declaration of Independence, all of the framers took time on Sundays to attend various church services around Philadelphia, even if it weren't of their religion. And you might ask yourselves, why would they do such a thing? Because they wanted to show to the people who were watching very closely what they were doing at Independence Hall, that they had no intention whatsoever of setting up one religion as the religion of the new state, the religion of the new republic. And so it was really a spectacle to see people like Thomas Jefferson or George Washington enter a Catholic church, sit in the back, and worship with the Catholics as best they could, and participate in their religious service. George Washington actually has two very famous quotes in regards to the need for religion in the republic. This is what he says in his farewell address, and I quote, all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, and morality are indispensable supports. And then he went on to warn the mistaken idea that, quote, morality cannot be maintained without religion. Meaning to say that it's just not good enough to say that I'm a good person or that I'm relatively nice or well-liked. That is not a sufficient foundation for morality. Morality always has to be tied to a specific religious system. And why? Religion comes from the word religare, Latin for to rebind. You hear the word ligare, which is to bind. That's where we get the word ligament, or unfortunately, tubal ligation. These words mean to bind back. So religion is man's effort to bind himself back to God. But to have a morality separated from religion, which is very much in vogue today, does not work. And that's from one of the fathers of this nation and our first president, George Washington himself. He understood that. Now in our gospel today, our blessed Lord extols two virtues in particular in his description, his self-description of the Sacred Heart. He says, my heart is two things, meek and humble. The virtues, however, are little understood. Humility perhaps better than meekness, so perhaps we can start there. Humility is twofold. It is recognition in the mind and acceptance in the heart about the truth of oneself. That is humility. A truly humble person recognizes and engages the reality of who they are, not just up here, but they accept it in their heart. Now, we live in a world where humility is extolled, but not often practiced. It's admired, but not really followed. And if you think about it, and they say pride is the root of all sin, humility is its great antidote. Because in pride, what an individual does is they say, I am greater than God. I am greater than the church. I am greater than everything else. And the entire world revolves around me. So therefore, what I think is prime, my preferences are numero uno, and everything else around me, well, that's just going to have to subordinate itself to me. Pride, ego, from the Latin ego, which means I. Humility says, no, the truth actually is, friend, that you are not the center of the universe. You are not greater than God or the church. God is the creator, you are the creature, the church is his bride, his handmaid. To really be humble is to learn to be obedient. And in obedience comes freedom. When you learn to surrender your ego over to the mind of Christ and accept it in your heart, then you have become truly free. Because no longer do you maintain specific and sole control of everything in your life, but you understand that you've been placed here for a purpose to know, love, and serve God in this life so as to be happy with Him in the next. That is the answer to the question, what is the meaning of life? And there should not be a Catholic in this world, unfortunately there are many, who doesn't know the answer to that question. Why am I here? Someone who is completely rooted in pride and lacks humility struggles mightily with this question every single moment of their lives, whether they realize it or not. They're always fighting to try to find some meaning and transcendent value to why they're here, and they don't understand that it is actually in dying to the self, to the I, that you begin to realize who you truly are. Meekness, as another virtue, deserves just a few minutes of attention as well. Meekness is the virtue of self-possession or self-control. It's actually the main antidote against anger. If someone struggles being given to anger too easily, meekness is that virtue of self-control, of self-possession. Neither too hot nor too cold, just right. It's a person who reacts to situations, what we'd call in British English, proportionally. In other words, not too angry, not too apathetic, applying just the right amount of emotion and attention and energy to a given situation. How often do we find ourselves being, quote, set off by even the smallest things, lacking self-possession and control? For example, a child under the age of 7 might do something naughty, and we just go ballistic, forgetting their age, their intellect, perhaps, God willing, a lack of malice, and just weakness and foolishness. Yet because of a lack of meekness, we can be given over to anger. But meekness has other cousins. Self-control. Take temperance. Self-control over the intake of food or drink. Chastity, self-control over the use of the sexual faculty within marriage, just to name a couple. If we possess ourselves, the Beatitude says, blessed are the meek, we will possess the kingdom of heaven. Jesus promises that if you can possess yourself, you will possess the land, heaven. So learning to be self-possessed in this life is a precursor to learning to possess the heavenly kingdom in the next. Again, all of these could be random thoughts and ideas, but thankfully for us in Catholicism, they work together for the good in one very tightly wound system. Washington reminds us that it is not acceptable to just be virtuous. But we also have to be religious as well. And it makes sense. The founders firmly believed, as I said, that our rights come from God. Religion is our lifeline back to God. To understand what those rights are supposed to mean, to understand what God intended for humanity in this incredibly prosperous and wonderful project called America, we have to be connected to Him. As you see over time, the more and more that we move away from God, the more unmoored we become from our foundations. So many of what the founders would see today would appall them in the public sphere. They would say, we have not become free. We have become slaves, because we have distanced ourselves from the one who gives us the rights we call and invoke in freedom, God Himself. So, it is important to remember today, as we get ready to celebrate our country's birthday tomorrow, that for democracy to prosper, the populace must be virtuous. And in order for the populace to be virtuous, it has to be bound to God through religion. George Washington is as American as apple pie, Betsy Ross, and baseball. And yet how many people ignore his words of wisdom today? We do well, this day before the 4th of July, 2011, to pray that our country understands what Washington meant, and meant very specifically, that for our democracy to prosper, we must be both virtuous and religious. rebinding ourselves time and time again to the one who gives us the rights and the freedoms that we will celebrate tomorrow, God Almighty. O Mary, conceived without sin,